Welcome back, everyone, to the Language of Behavior podcast, and happy holidays to not just listening, but to you, Charlie Peck. How are you doing?
Great. Happy holidays to you. It's a great time of year. Love it. How about you?
No, we were talking about snow days, and you got one right now.
We sure do. And it's funny because in Kentucky, when you get a snow day, that means it doesn't take a lot of snow to get there.
A little different than our upbringing, you in Canada, me in Minnesota. But yeah, it's still kind of a crazy time when everybody's at home. But we just got done with a cohort session, and it was such a great opportunity not only to see everyone, but you talked about plasticity. And I would love for you just to kind of outline what we discussed, and then we'll jump into the question that was asked today during that cohort session.
Yeah, it was a great session. A lot of people came through and did some great reflection. So social plasticity is about seeing people beyond what their behavior is, or however they're showing up to us that's frustrating us, seeing beyond that. And we have a special way of looking at it and dealing with that in a very simplified way. You know me, Josh. It's about simplicity. You know that that's my deal, because if something is not simple, we will not use it when we're in crisis or chaos or overwhelm that we're all experiencing in education. So that is the gist of it, but we can dive deeper.
Yeah, one, it was great, just not only information that you provided in regards to that, but then also to see folks reflect on that. They're providing both professional and personal scenarios that they were going through. But I think a lot of it was talking through a lot of biases also, or assumptions that are made to the conversation even occurring. And I think that's where that came up with, as far as how do we approach someone who constantly frustrates us? So Charlie, how do you want to address this?
Well, I think we start with the looking through the lens of social plasticity and not a personality label. Because if we mislabel the person, their character, we've already shut them out. And there's no room for compassion after that. So we need to look at it from a different lens. So what we need to do also is like rewire our brain to be more responsive instead of reactive. And that is what the skill is all about. It's one of my favorites. And I use it all the time. So I always talk about Madison and how she was a student of mine. Legit, that's not her name. But like, she would get up out of my class and leave. And it made me so frustrated. And I thought she was a jerk. And I thought, and that's what I told myself about her. And you could tell there was animosity. And if you've ever heard me do a keynote, you all, you probably heard this story, because it resonates so well within me and my change as a person and as a teacher. And so when I got frustrated with her, I got called to the office one time when she did leave the class. And my principal had said, just let her do that. And that made me incredibly frustrated, like so irritated that I thought, what about the other students? Like, why does she get to do that? And what about me? She didn't have to ask my permission. I'm the teacher, right? And so I labeled her. I labeled her as somebody who gets to have what she wants, and all she has to do is run to the principal for it. And I was frustrated. And so after the semester ended, then I went to the school counselor because the classes had changed. So she was out of my class and into a new one. And I went to my friend Beth, who was a school counselor, and said, can you tell me where she's going to be? Because I would like to find her and just make amends and say, I'm sorry. And she said, Madison passed away. And Josh, I know you and I have talked about this before, and our audience probably has heard that before. But in this very moment, it was a great learning and teaching experience, because when I shared that with the group, the cohort group, you could tell that it's like, it resonates in a way that we all know a Madison. And so the message is about, we have to make new assumptions, because our brain is making negative assumptions, assumptions that aren't even true. Our brain lies to us, like it's a big fat liar. And so we need to catch that. And so that's what it's all about. It's about not labeling the personality or the person. Let's change our lens on that. So there's a little bit more to it, but I really want to hear like what you would say.
Yeah, I think we talked about a student scenario with the cohort. You know, we talked through kind of some of the assumptions that might be made, some of the biases that might occur with the teacher and the student. And I think that's typically, as an administrator, where I saw it the most. I'd also say that I saw teacher to teacher, or administrator too. Where those labels start to occur, right? Oh, it's just a bad student. It's just a burnt out teacher, or an inefficient teacher, or fill in the blank, right? As the labels. And, you know, I was just talking with the principal yesterday, and they were talking about a veteran teacher, unfortunately, was labeled by really the entire staff as just being someone that was just nasty and ugly toward other folks and you know, was just kind of waiting out their time to retire. And this principal took the time to bring them in and had multiple meetings, and not with any agenda other than just, let's get to know this person. And it was amazing what was uncovered during those meetings to say, oh, there is something behind the behavior. Oh, there's something that's not being fulfilled in this person's life. And just having that time with that person and really filling their cup during these meetings, they started to see a shift in their attitude and how they address other people. And then pretty soon the following year, just with this consistency of having meetings with the teacher and getting to know them as a person, then it started to be a totally different and changed individual, where the last couple of years of their teaching career, they were on fire and probably had the most successful couple of years into retirement. And I don't think that shift would have occurred unless we, again, didn't have the label. We came in with an open mind and start to get to know that person. And that's the same with students, right? We talk about this in our book all the time with learning to behavior. Like, it's a form of communication. And so it's our job and our responsibility to get underneath that to figure out what's truly going on.
Yeah. And I love that when we give time and space for people to do that, that's where they have the opportunity to make that shift. But if we don't, as leaders, give them that space to do it, they're not going to, because they're going to be stuck in all the negativity, all the chaos, all the thinking that they already brought into the moment. And that was one of the things we talk about so often is, what about this moment right now? I mean, we can bring all the history, all the stuff. We can bring all the insecurities, all the fights, all the stuff we used to get stuck in to this moment, or we could decide to shift out of it by doing something so very simple. And that is truly just reframing it and shifting. I mean, you can shift in that moment. And when you make those shifts all the time, you are rewiring your brain to be more reflexive in the response and not the reaction. That was one of the questions. And it was a great question by the leader of the group who brought everyone together to this group and gave them the opportunity for this cohort. And then he said that. He said, how do we get people, or myself, he brought it back to himself, which was awesome, great leadership, said, how do I go from being reactive to responsive? And it was a great opportunity to say, you can. It's going to take some time and practice, because think about habits. Think about those habits that you change. You really do have to rewire your brain to do the new habit. It's the same kind of deal. It's nothing huge, actually, but it's the noticing part. So we have to notice when we're doing it. And so that's why we use stories like Madison. We use those stories so we can get people to be on board with, oh gosh, wow, I remember that. And I have been there myself in a different kind of context. So that Madison moment gave us opportunity to say, listen, we all have a Madison in our class. We all have a Madison on our staff. And heck, we might be a Madison, and we need other people to shift their lens about us so that we don't have to stay caged so much, because it really is very freeing when you do this for others. So that's what I love about these kind of sessions. I mean, I thought it was pretty awesome today. I think it gave people an opportunity to really think about it and to humanize themselves. So not only humanize that other person, you don't have to agree with them or like them. You don't have to. But it gave an opportunity to humanize them, to think about, what are they coming in with? And that was the other thing that the leader of the cohort had said that brought everyone together. He said, we're bringing in our implicit bias or biases. And we do, because that is what we grew up with. And so we have to just get ourselves in check. That's really what it's about. We just need the time and space in our education system right now to be able to do that. That's why I love doing this work, Josh. Especially with you, because together, I think it's neat to have your lens coming in for that leadership, especially.
Oh, I agree. I love doing these cohorts with you, Charlie. And I want to touch on something that you brought up and was part of this conversation, which was like some of the negative feelings that are harbored due to the experiences that we've had with this person prior to. And you gave some examples of anxiety and some of the things that might occur physiologically with our body that we may not even be in tune with. So can you just speak on that part too?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Our body is connected to our brain, clearly, and our brain sends messages to have us pay attention. So when we get that feeling of frustration, a lot of times it's an anticipation. Like, we know that we have to have an encounter with this person that brings us frustration. And there's other skills that we can use. That's a different story. But when we notice that we are getting frustrated already just thinking about that person, then your body tells you, So that is a great opportunity. Like that is opportunity for us to start making some kind of change, because change is going to start from the inside. It's going to radiate outwards. That's within ourselves and that's within a system. And so when we notice, like, you know, our chest is like tightening up, or our heart is racing, our face gets red or warm, or we feel tense or shake throughout our whole body or clench our fists, whatever. I mean, this is an indication that something is up. Sometimes our rate of speech slows down, or it speeds right up. Like this
I was
is
gonna say, mine speeds up.
Doesn't it? Yeah, mine does too. And I fumble over my words when I get like that too.
Yeah, because your mouth's going faster than your brain.
Yeah, so true. It's so true. And then that compounds the harshness we have on ourselves. Is that even a word? Harshness? I don't even know if it's a word. I don't care. It is now.
Oh, yeah. We're making up words. But I think that actually we saw that in the session. Someone was harsh on themselves and labeled themselves during the session because they felt bad about how they reacted.
That's the effect of a cohort. So we have built up that relationship and rapport with them since August. And in August, I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have challenged that. But when that person brought it up in session, then it was, I could challenge it in a way that was a great experience for everybody. Everybody kind of was like, oh, what I said was, I'm going to challenge that you labeled yourself as bad in that moment, but really you were being human and pulling in all of these other historical experiences you've had with this person, you're protecting yourself. But what if, right? What if we catch ourselves and then reframe? And that's what the training is about, having that time and space to sit with those things that are happening and learn to do it more intentionally and reflexively, but in a way that we're not going to walk away with that guilt anymore. So that's why the skills do, they do compound, right? They do scaffold over time. But and then the second tenet we brought in too was awesome, because then we showed them not only do we need to do this for ourselves and in the space that we create for other people, like one-to-one, but we need to now model this and coach people. So talk about the leadership and the coaching that you explained to the cohort. It was awesome.
Well, for those who don't know, the cohort model was a select few that were granted access to us for these different sessions throughout the year. And so I like reminding them that they're here for a purpose. They're here for a reason. Not only, you know, build themselves up and to retain the skills, you know, for them to use, but also for them to share that out. And it's similar to what we wrote about in the book with the relationship action team, right? That's a group that volunteered to come in, but they also were charged to do this, the same aspect. You're getting knowledge to not only perform and be better within the classroom or your office, but then also to share that information out to others. And I just wanted them to think and have that lens, because so often we're only thinking about sphere. We're only thinking about our four walls, but you know, I'm tasking them, and you are too, to, you know, take this information and spread it to other folks and model it and, you know, share all these insights and wisdom, because a lot of times this is just not, it doesn't enter into the school building, or it doesn't enter into the district, or we don't give it time and space. And so obviously they're seeing the benefit. They share that with us. And so if they're feeling a benefit, then let's share it with other people to get them into the same scope and sequence, to make sure that we're not like transforming an individual, but we're literally transforming the culture and having that ripple effect from building and building.
Yeah, that is so possible. That ripple effect is entirely possible and essential in today's education system. So yeah, glad you said that.
Okay. Well, I think it was a super powerful session. I think, you know, what you were just talking about, Charlie, too, was really powerful, because I think all of us have that same self-talk. You know, when he was talking through that scenario, or when you were talking about your scenario, I know there was a lot of different people that were sharing out about things that were happening either professionally or personally. I think we all in our mind were like giving negative self-talk to ourselves, saying, oh, I should have done better. I could have done better. I should have done this or that. And I love that you very respectfully and very gently just enlightened everyone on the fact that sometimes we're all our own worst enemies.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah. And I can't wait till we get in further to like other things that come up, like when we have polarization and miscommunication, misunderstandings, mistreated. We get to cover that stuff too. So that's all coming up. But
awesome. All right. Well, let's do our last segment here in Behind the Banter, and we'll close things out. All right, Charlie, we're going to get real deep and personal here with you. What is one thing that you collect?
Ooh, one thing I collect. Oh my gosh. Honestly, if anything, it's Bengals stuff.
Oh, like, sure.
That's it. I don't have like a scary doll collection or anything, if you're, in case you're wondering.
It's not in the corner. It's like life size on the chair or something.
I always go play with it in between sessions. No, probably Bengals stuff. And there's a whole conversation you and I need to have about that, because I worry that Joe Burrow is going to go to Minnesota. I'm nervous.
Anyway, I didn't want to bring it up, but I'm liking on social media. I'm just like. Yeah, that's the dream. But I don't want to crush your soul. So I'm like fighting two worlds here. I've got like the devil on one side and the angel on the other shoulder. So no, it's funny you said that, because I have like memorabilia all over my office. Nobody can see it. So I collect Minnesota sports memorabilia. I also have had the wonderful opportunity to go to Final Fours. I've gone to the Super Bowl before, and so I have a lot of superhero coffee mugs around my office.
Love it. I was going to say, you can't not say superhero stuff. Like, you have to bring that in. You have to.
Well, I just said, I think I said something about it last episode, so people are going to think I'm a weirdo too. But yeah, I think that's the two things that come to mind.
Awesome.
But I also don't have like some weird like pickle jars or something like that. Like,
okay. Hannibal Lecter kind of stuff. You don't have that kind of weird jars. Gosh. This is very lighthearted for the holidays, isn't it?
I know. We're ready for the break. All right, Charlie. So how do you want to close this down with some words of wisdom in regards to the question in the cohort?
Yes. I want to remind people that your brain is going to lie to you to protect you, and your ego. So try to just notice when that's happening, and then just try to get rid of the assumption. Make a new assumption about people. Make a new assumption that you don't know their full story. I didn't know Madison's story, and it was not a good situation for her or me. So just ask yourself to make a new assumption and just ask, like, what am I missing?
Very wise words. And I would say this is something that's essential, especially not only for a crazy busy time at your professional life, but also with personal life and extended family and the holidays. So I think this is timely and absolutely the conversation. Can't wait for additional cohort sessions with the phenomenal group. And then, of course, if you need assistance with anything, Charlie and I have our websites in the show notes. Definitely reach out there. We're always looking for questions. There's a bit.ly link in the show notes also for you to share what's going on in your world. And we'd love to hear from you. And then, of course, we love the growth of the podcast. So I personally want to thank everyone. I'm going to say, Charlie, that we've hit the 1 year mark. I think we're there. This is episode 52. And I know that we started last December, and you know, every month we're seeing some growth with the podcast. So thank you for not only tuning in, but we really appreciate that you are sharing it out with others, maybe colleagues, family members, maybe friends. If you find this beneficial, of course, we'd love for you to continue to share this podcast, but then also rate and review it in the podcast platform that you're listening in. And then with that, we hope everyone has a wonderful holiday season and things are wrapping up. I know this week is typically the last week for most districts, and so we hope that you are getting some rest and relaxation during this really, really busy and crazy time. So with that, Chavai, I hope you have a wonderful week.
You too. Thanks so much, everybody.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.